It's Jeanette here from Jeanette's TV. I'm at the Elevate Tech Conference in Toronto. And what a conference this is. 4 days of incredible learning, all kinds of very high influencers in the digital and tech industries, from fashion to food and everything in between, investments, health. We have so much great coverage coming at you. Please stay with us.
So, one thing I'll disclose to the audience first is, I mean, I'm a reporter, I interview people all the time, but what I'm not doing today is interviewing you. I just want to have a conversation with you.
So you just want to talk?
Let's just talk, bro. They said it was a fireside. I don't see the fire, but I'm with the vibe.
I'm like, it's kind of cold in here.
Yeah, it is kind of cold.
Right?
It is cold for a fireside.
It's freezing here.
Nonetheless, I know that there is a wealth of knowledge sitting right beside me, ladies and gentlemen, and I would just, you know, implore you to just share and give us whatever you have to offer, and we're just gonna chop it up. Now, a lot of the things that you're working on now are gonna bring us back to Africa in terms of the conversation. So, I guess what I want to do is, I want you to tell us what initially excited you about remaking Africa?
Well, I mean, there was a number of things that excited me about Africa, mainly being I'm African. you know.
Same.
You know, my father was a forward-thinking man. And he made sure that me, my brothers, my sisters, we were all born in the States, so we wouldn't have immigration problems coming back and forth. So whenever my mom was pregnant, he'll fly her in, we'll be born, then he'd ship us back. So I was in the States till I was about 12, in Africa till I was about 12, then I came to the States, went to school, and every summer we go back home, you know, for vacation, then school start, we come back to the States, and then after high school, I decided to just stay in the States. But I realized after 18 years of going back and forth to my mom and grandparents and all, you know, that neighborhood where we was raised, nothing really never changed in Africa. It was the same neighborhood, same villages, same lifestyle, same struggle, same everything. And I couldn't really understand because only the politicians actually had nice houses and drove in amazing cars and lived in areas where there was electricity, where the rest of the population, you know, lived in areas where there were no clean water, there was no electricity, the civilization there was like really poor. And living in the U.S., I kind of got really spoiled. So when I go back to visit my grandmother, I'm trying to take a shower in hot water. And there's no faucet, for that matter. And when I needed water, you know, I would walk with my aunt to the well and we get the water. She put it on her head. I try to carry it because my head and my neck was too weak. And, you know, that's another thing, too, by the way. The women in Africa are so strong. I mean, they hold buckets this big of water and literally put it on their head with no hands and just walk like it's nothing. And I could barely pick up a bucket that was half the size. So I just realized there had to be a change, you know, and coming back into Africa also started with that change. There was also a huge possibility. And it didn't, wherever there's huge possibility, there's just huge advantages. So I looked at it from a standpoint of, let me figure out a way that I can be a part of just developing the country, because I fast forward 15 years after that, I became, you know, this huge artist, heavily popular, and met so many powerful people. So I said, let me utilize all these relationships and figure out who I can partner with, what things I can create, and how I can be an advancement to Africa. And I utilized those resources. And it became more of a philanthropy thing in the beginning, and then the philanthropy just became a for-profit business that just helped people. So I realized at that moment I wanted to get in a business that helped people. So I became more of a social entrepreneur. And that became my goal ever since, but I wanted money made to be made in Africa and utilize that money to rebuild Africa in that process.
Sure. Yeah. So I heard, as I was doing my research preparing to chat with you, I heard someone speak about Akonda. Mm-hmm. What is Akonda?
So Akonda is my album. It started as when the movie Wakanda came out, it kind of gave everybody the opportunity to see the potential what Africa could become.
Right.
And I always felt like there had to be a narrative that was given that can kind of combat the previous narrative before Wakanda. Right. You know, Africa was this huge village, it's nothing but poor people there with AIDS and Ebola, and it's so scary just to think about Africa. And then when you look at African Americans and how they were raised in America with no African history, no, you know, opportunity to explore what Africa could be for them and all the challenges that they would have to even face to even get on a plane to get to Africa with the shots and all kind of, it's just scary, right? I thought about it and I said, this could be the narrative I actually can ride on for a second, because it kind of combated the previous narrative that Africa was that negative place. And me being in Africa all the time and seeing how Africa has evolved in such a huge way, I said, there's a way that we could play on that.
Right.
And I said, that would be the vision and the concept. But it'd be my vision and concept.
Okay.
You know? So I called it Akonda. And Akonda came from the concept of creating an all virtual digital cryptocurrency like city. And that became a concept that now we're materializing. We just actually started breaking ground in March, which is gonna be the first crypto city in all of Africa.
You know? So first crypto city in all of Africa, I mean this.
Well, probably, no, well then again, Puerto Rico's doing something.
Right.
But we're like the second in the world.
Where in Africa? Cause...
In Senegal.
Okay.
Yeah, in Senegal. And then we're gonna branch off into Gambia as well.
So I guess I kinda want you to just describe it though, cause I want people to understand why they should be interested in working in Africa, building in Africa, using their tech, whatever it is that their skills are, and how those can be utilized in Africa as well.
Well, the advantages to Africa is that it's a clean slate. Every developing market in the world has gotten to the point where they're at its threshold, and there's nowhere else to live, or build, or grow for that matter. So when you look at Africa, and Africa has all the resources that created the development for all the developing markets today, it's in a position where it's still plentiful of every resource that's been already given out.
Right.
And it's still yet a wide open canvas to do whatever you want to do. Like, who would have ever thought that, and this I could have had never done in the United States, where I can actually create my own utility company. It's impossible that I would go into the U.S. and have my own energy company. Like, just that's just unheard of. Imagine me trying to set up my own energy company here in Canada. They'd probably kick me back past the border. It's just no way. They would not let me in. Whereas in Africa, it's a wide open playing field. If you have the knowledge, you have the partners, you have the finances, you have the means and the program that you could put around that actually makes sense, the government will back you to do it because the need is still there.
Right.
Whereas here, it's already been, you know, it's like a triangle, and it's only a group of people that control that market, and you're not getting in.
Definitely not getting in.
You know, so when I go back home and I think about all the things that's available there and all the opportunities that's just low-hanging fruit, it's honestly, if you're a businessman or you think of advancing in any kind of way, you would know that the next best place to invest is in Africa, 100%.
Sure. I guess we got to talk about Acoin. Mm-hmm. Have you guys heard of Acoin yet?
Yeah.
So some yes, some no. So tell us what Acoin is, where it started, and where it's headed.
Well, Acoin is going to be the beginning. I think with any developing country, you have to have a financial mechanism that allows people to trade. You know, and in Africa, when you look at, there's over 54 countries, and they all have their own currency. And none of the currencies, none of them are stable. Or they're actually being colonized, or they're utilizing either the Franc model, which is the French, or you know, they're using a Dutch model, or even the UK model for that instance. And the dollars have never been stable, even though you have all those resources to back it up. So what Acoin is gonna do is pretty much create, first of all, the simplest way to transact. And right now, as you know, the best way to transact in Africa is through mobile phones. We've always been ahead from a standpoint of mobile transfer. Like, they've been doing this for the last 15, 20 years. Before texting was even there, they were already transferring back and forth, with, you know.
Transferring funds?
Yeah, transferring funds on mobile phones. And this is not even the smartphones. We were on dumb phones doing this. You know what I'm saying? So we were already ahead of that. So to the point where the population has already gotten used to creating transactions and making transactions on their cell phone. So the A-Coin was literally built for digital transactions, digital wallets, back and forth. But what we ended up doing was creating a platform, which would be a platform for all dApps, apps related to crypto. So every service that you can imagine that you need for basic life or service or medical or health or education or infrastructure, all those dApps will be actually on the A-Coin platform. And you can utilize every single dApp there for your basic day-to-day life to advance yourself and also create jobs for entrepreneurs. And those who actually have jobs or have ideas that create jobs for others can also create them same kind of dApps and put those on that platform. And A-Coin will be the transactional, you know, currency that runs through the whole system. So just imagine if there were an app store for cryptocurrency. That's what that A-Coin platform would be.
So then you would go, if you needed to get groceries, you could get the grocery app? Is that how it works?
Yes.
Can you guys tell them about the tech guy?
Yeah, so, I mean, this is for people that's not really into tech. Let's say hypothetically, you just don't want to leave the house, right? Mm-hmm. And, okay, cool, there's an app on there that allows you to be able to pick everything you want and they deliver it to you, right? That will be actually on, that'd be one of the dApps and the apps on the actual platform. And you pick everything you actually, what you want, which, you know, of course that app hasn't been developed on the app yet, but it will be.
Right.
And then clearly you order whatever you want, it's delivered to you, but it's actually paid in A-Coin. And if you actually have A-Coin, we actually have a partnership with BitMinutes, which is one of the biggest digital mobile transactional systems in the universe. They have over 4 billion phones that they have access to. So they are direct partners. And ultimately, most Africans always transact through minutes or phone credits. So now we're able, through the A-Coin platform, to turn those phone credits into actual currency where they can utilize those phone credits to actually purchase things and be able to transact back and forth on the devices itself.
Sure. So for argument's sake, conversation's sake, why is that better than, let's say, the current currency that they have, the different currencies that they have, maybe trying to develop those or make those dollars stronger?
Well, this is how I look at it. The whole world is turning digital, right? And currency is going to be no different. I always compare everything to music. I remember in the beginning of music, you had, cool, it started with 8 tracks, right? Then you got these big old 8-track tapes, and then it went from that to vinyl. Then it went from vinyl to little small cassette tapes. And then it went from small cassette tapes to CDs. Then it went from CDs to MP3s. And then it went from MP3s now to streaming. Went from straight analog into digital. And that's with everything. Let's say currency, for instance. It started all the way in the back where you would trade cattle. You go from trading cattle to trading silver and gold. You go from trading silver and gold to trading a piece of paper, which is the dollar. Then you go from trading actual dollar to a plastic card, which is now your credit card, your debit card, or whatever. Now you're going from your debit card to mobile transactions, where now you got what?
Apple Pay,
you got all. So everything is turning into digital, and it's gonna go from the Apple Pays to all that to what? Cryptocurrency. So if you don't see the evolution changing into the future, I mean, I don't know what to tell you.
For sure.
You know?
So then I guess that kind of, okay, so then how does that work, I guess, then for travel? I think one of the most important things whenever I hear you talk is there's an advantage that you've had by making those trips from North America back to Africa. It opened up your mind to how this world really looks and how this world really works. Yeah. So with that in mind, that travel is something essential for development and understanding, even empathy, how will the A-Coin support that, or how will that work for people that want to move around the globe?
Well, that's the thing. You know, the A-Coin was built around a global concept. Being the fact that I travel in so many places, I mean, from Africa to India to Australia to America to Europe, I see the same problems, same issues, same challenges. But I was more focused on the developing side of all of those countries. And A-Coin was built around a global concept. So clearly, A-Coin could easily be the African coin. or it could be the Asian coin, or it could be the Australian coin, or it could be the American coin. So it's literally built to create challenges, solve problems for whatever challenges you have, but more so to digitize anything that allows you to be able to live better or to enhance the way that you're living now, mainly through the process of just natural transactions. So when you look at the currency system, most of the biggest projects all start with concepts and an idea and a dream, right? But then without the financial aspect of it, it never materializes into actually real, you know, concepts. But ultimately, when people utilize those networks amongst each other, they all come together and they figure out ways to finance it or they figure out ways to come up with that concept, it always materializes into an actual project. And what we're trying to do with the Acoin system is allow everyone that actually have a concept or an idea and create value around that. And you create that networking system within those dApps and apps to where they can utilize whatever piece they need to be able to create what that concept is. So if you have a concept that says, okay, well, one day I want to create the biggest university in where I come from. Mm-hmm. Eventually, one day, the dream is to be able to go on that Acoin platform and utilize every opportunity or person or, for instance, network with or whatever system that allows you to get closer to it. So there may be educational dApps and apps on there that you can actually communicate with, because the whole idea is for everyone to network, right? Outside of that, then you need infrastructural piece, someone that can possibly even build it. There's someone there that actually, or multiple companies there that can build, that you can communicate with, get the information with, right? Then from there, of course, naturally you need to have a recourse system of some kind of Bible that says, okay, academic, right? So then you got professors on there that you can communicate with, that can give you that course or whatever the case may be. Then you have management skills and so many different things but the whole idea is to whatever component that you need to utilize to make that dream come true, that networking system on the Acoin platform will allow you to be able to network with those people, partner up with them. And then the beautiful part about the fact that it being on blockchain is that it's all transparent.
Right.
You get all the information. You know who's who. You know what. You get all the information right there in front of you.
Well, I'm not going to go too much further into Acoin because I know tomorrow you're talking on the creator stage and the money stage.
Yep.
So if you guys want more in depth, more information about that, you guys are welcome to go and check
that out. Definitely, because tomorrow we're going to actually launch exactly what the platform is, how it looks, how it's operated, and you can actually visually see it in real action. So you might want to see that for sure. It's amazing.
Tomorrow.
Yep.
Now, with everything that you're involved in, it impacts globally. And now, we were chatting briefly about one of the songs that I love that you just came out with, Benjamin. I called it Franklin, but...
Yeah.
but also, I wanted to talk to you about your music and then the artists that you're working with right now, some things that you're excited about.
Oh, man, the music side of it, like, I've been waiting to get back to this part forever. I got caught up in Africa, obviously, and didn't realize how fast time flew. Because did you guys realize that the last time I put out an album was in 2008? Exactly. that's 10.
I'm just thinking in my head, I'm like, 2008, my daughter wasn't even born.
Dude, that's 10 fucking years ago. No, it's crazy because it seemed like I blinked my eyes, opened up, and 10 years had just flew past me.
Right?
So... And then I said, okay, let me start paying more attention to the music side, right? Because that's really my passion. And of course, when you do so many things philanthropic or you do some business stuff, your success kind of surrounds you, start to forget certain things, but you always feel like that one thing is missing. And clearly the music was the part that was really missing for me. And that was me doing it, you know, personally. But as far as the music industry itself, I've been kind of still attached because I still have an infrastructure that puts artists out, that discover new music, that creates superstars.
Is that still Convict?
Convict is the urban label.
Okay.
So that's straight street records, R&B, struggle. Convict kind of describes the struggle through music, right? And then you have Con Live, which is the pop side of it. You know, that's more focused on fun, party, pop music. So that's the label that Gaga was on. That's the Con Live brand,
right?
And then you have see, this is what I decided to create. Let me just share my concept.
Let's go. This is exactly what I wanted.
Right? So Being the fact that I love music and I listen to every single genre, and I've had literally hit records in every language in every country, and a lot of people don't even know it. Because of the fact that at the time when I was doing music, it was an analog system. You were signed to a label, you got played on the radio, and if you was lucky to be in that city, you'll hear me. If you wasn't, then you wouldn't. But then when the digital age came and opened up streaming-wise, that's when music became more diverse to the average person that just listened to one particular genre. Now you can listen to all different type of genre, and you can go online and discover new music. So I said, okay, back in 2010, after the World Cup, I wanted to put out this series of albums called The Stadium, which would release 5 albums. A hip-hop album, an R&B album, a reggae album, a dance music album, and a pop album. And everybody was like, man, that's too much music. Now, in my mind, that was nothing, because I do records every single day.
Still till today?
Till this day. Like, I do records every day, because, you know, singing, songwriting, like, producing songwriters is like my day job, right? So if I'm not producing or writing for other artists, I'm just writing and producing just for the hell of it, right? So what ended up happening was the system at that time just wasn't mature enough to put out that kind of record. Then I fast forward to now, and the system is totally different. The streamer world is completely open to that kind of concept, because now it's no longer about radio, it's about playlists, right? You go on Pandora, Spotify, Google, Apple Music, Amazon, and you can just create your own playlist and decide what you want to hear and when you want to hear it. That's when I said, yo, now this concept can actually work. So what I decided to do, I said, okay, now I'm gonna put out 4 albums instead of 5. 5 might have been too much, but 4, perfect. I got a hip-hop album, and I combine hip-hop and R&B together. Then I got a Latin album, which I go by the name of El Negrito. If you search Akon, it might not pop up, but if you search El Negrito, that's me.
Doug, I cannot wait to search that.
No, this is crazy. So just last week, I put out my first single on the El Negrito project. How many people even know that? See? But all the Latin people know it. So we put it out, and literally within 24 hours, we were at 15 million hits on YouTube. Now, this is how fast the record is growing. But this is what made me realize I made the right decision, because I listen to so many different types of music and love so many different types of music, but I never get a chance to engage all my fans in that specific genre. So I said, I'm gonna put out 4 different albums in the 4 most popular genres for those particular audiences. So we put out our first record, which is called Como No, featuring Becky G. It's my first Latin single. Whenever you get on YouTube, check it out, because you're gonna get a kick out of hearing me speak Spanish and, like, literally singing in Spanish. The whole album is in Spanish, by the way. All right, that's the El Negrito. And then the hip-hop and R&B, that one is called Concrete. I'm sorry, I changed the name. It's called Connection. So that Connect album would be coming out towards the end of November. And then in October, we got El Negrito, we got Akonda, which is the Afrobeat album.
Ooh.
Right? You guys are gonna love that.
No, I'm ready for that.
I can't wait for y'all to hear that one, right? So between the Akonda, El Negrito, and Connect, those 3 will drop in, well, before the end of this year. Then I got Jamacon, which is the reggae album that's gonna drop first quarter of next year. So it's a lot of music for those who listen to every genre. But if you only listen to one specific genre, then you'll be able to enjoy whatever genre that is that you fancy. But I would encourage for you guys to listen to all of it. Just out of curiosity, I just wanna know how good I did in those genres you don't used to hear me in.
Well, I'll be searching El Negrito as soon as I get off this stage.
Absolutely. That's,
I can promise you that.
I promise you.
Damn, this time is almost up already. I knew it was going to fly by. I started off by saying that there's a wealth of knowledge sitting right beside me, and I didn't get to any of my notes. But the one thing I want to ask you, though, for me, do you have a mentor, and is there a value in having a mentor at any stage or at every stage of your career?
That's actually a great question, because I always had, like, my dad was always my main mentor, right? He was, like, my pop is brilliant. And then my mom, she's my mentor as well, too, because she just comes from a different angle. You know, my mom, she makes sure she beats it into me. Like, I don't leave without the message. She makes sure I get the message. Whereas dad is a little more gentle, he's more calm. Son, handle it this way. Mom's like, do it. So it's two different methods, and they both come from every angle. But what I realized the most outside of my human mentors, which is the close family mentors, I always had a mentor which was just life. Because I learned life.
Life.
I learned from every situation. I never take anything for granted. I never take anything personal. And I never, ever feel any kind of regret. Because I always felt like everything that happens in your life is supposed to happen. And I feel like we all have a specific purpose on this earth. And I think sometimes we forget the spiritual side of us. You know, there's a lot of things that you wish that you could change, a lot of things that you think that you could do better. But I'm here to tell you, you can't change it, and you can't do better. All you can do is do your best. Because better is never going to be enough. And don't ever try to outdo anyone else or think that that person is hypothetically doing better or advancing faster or farther than you. Because where you at in your life is where you're supposed to be. Because you have to be there to achieve whatever that goal is or whatever that agenda God has for you. And whatever you do, do not make goals according to time or birthdays or moments. Because things are never going to happen when you want it to happen. It's going to happen when God wants it to happen. So just do the best at what you do. Continue to do it as hard as you can and as the best you can do it. And just know that if it happened in the way that you didn't expect it, it's only because you didn't predict it. It's not because you didn't do your best or you aren't good enough. It's just whatever it is you was doing, you weren't meant to do that. So do what you're meant to do, no matter how bad you think you don't want to do it, because this may be cooler, but whatever you're meant to do is whatever you're the most great at or whatever you're most talented at, because God gave us all gifts to be able to, you know, focus on. And when you know that you have a gift and you ignore it, you're doing a disservice to yourself and you're doing a disservice to society.
Wow. Thank you so much.
You got it, buddy.
Thank you so much. I almost feel like we could have started a whole new conversation right there. But again, thank you for sharing. Thank you for your offerings. I'm sure there's a lot of things you guys could probably jot down. There's more ways to see Akon. He's performing tomorrow night. There's a Hewlett-Packard stage. And, of course, he's on the Creator stage and the Money stage tomorrow. He's everywhere.
I'm going to be fully engulfed in Elevate. I'm trying to elevate.
He's trying to elevate. And don't forget, El Negrito out now.
So actually, if you go on Spotify, Beats, you know, Pandora, any of the DSPs, just search or go on YouTube right now and just go to Akon Becky G, and it'll kind of take you to all my, or just you know, just subscribe to my YouTube channel. You get all the new videos right now. It just makes life easier, you know what I'm saying?
Yes, thank you, sir.
All right, buddy.
Oh, man.
Thanks for being with us today on Jeanette's TV. I'm your host, Jeanette Burke, signing off. Please remember to like, comment, and share all our posts with your family and friends. You will find us on Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, Pinterest, Vimeo, YouTube, you name it, we're there. Hashtag Jeanette's TV. And until next time, continue to be fabulous.